Greetings and welcome back to another in our ongoing series of Shiurim and Daf Yomi. We are now in the penultimate shiur of Masechet Nazir. We are presently on Daf Samach Dalad, Amud Aleph, near the top of the Amud. Tana Rabbanan, Kohen Talin Vahnigrarin. This is picking up again on the issue of floating tumah. Any tumah which is dragged or picked up, Sfeikan Tameh, and there's the sort of things that do not float, and they are found not on water but on land. If there is a question as to whether somebody touched them, then we say that they did. We consider them as if they are at rest. But things that are typically thrown, Sfeikan Tahor. Is that similar to floating? Chutz min kazayit min hamet, except for kazayit of a mate, v'yamahil al pnei tumah, or if you create an ohel over tumah, which is flying, as it were, v'chol devar shematameh min l'malah k'lemata, or anything else which has tumah, in which the upper level is similar to the lower level, which means, latuye zava zava, remember, a zava, who sits on a cushion, all the cushions underneath, all the way down, are all tumah, mishkav, tumah, mishkav, moshav. And therefore, in any of those cases, the even suffix of a something which is normally thrown is tame. Okay, now Rami Bachama asks a question again about floating tumah. By Rami Bachama, mate bekli ukli tzaf al pnei amayim. So you have a cadaver in a vessel, which means it's at rest, but the vessel is floating. So do we look at the cadaver, which is in a vessel, or do we look at the whole piece, which is floating, and therefore is suffix maga tame or tahor? Batar kli azlinan, do we look at the vessel? Or batar mita azlinan, do we look at the dead body? Im timtzalon batar kli azlinan, if we go after the vessel, so then mate al gabe sheretz mahu. What if the mate is not in a kli, but the mate is on top of another tamei thing, which is a dead sheretz? Kev and dahay tumat erev, ahay tumat shiva, since they are different kinds of tumah, different grades of tumah, one's tumat erev, one is tumat shiva. Kaman demach the tumah bikli damya, do we consider the sheretz relative to the mate to be like a vessel? And therefore, the mate is at rest. Odilma tuma smichtahi, or maybe it's all tuma, so therefore it's all floating. Mtinsaloma kamanda machta tuma beklidam, if you're going to consider it at rest, vitame vadai, and therefore the suffix is lachumra. Sheretz al gabe nevela u nevela tzafa. What if you have a sheretz on top of a nevela, which are both tumat erev now, and the nevela is floating on the water, mahu. And the question is whether or not you touch the sheretz. Kev and tarvaihu tumat erev inun, since they're both the same level of tuma smichtahi, so it's all one tuma, and therefore it's all floating. Odilma haikazayit vahaikadasha. They have separate shiurim. The sheretz is metame in much smaller amount, the size of a lentil, as opposed to a nevela, which is metame b'kazayit, and therefore we might consider them separate, and therefore the sheretz is at rest on top of the nevela. So if that's the case, then sheretz agave sheretz mahu. What if you have a sheretz on top of a sheretz? Hani vada echad shiur nino. They certainly have the same shiur. Odilma kemi the mifsek kemi adadi lo. But the fact is that the one sheretz on top of another, they're not the one thing. There's one physical thing and another physical thing on top. So you can't really call it one. So the top sheretz is at rest on top of the bottom sheretz. Mtim Saloma, sheretz like a sheretz, kevin the mifsakim yadadi, kevin the mancha beklidam, if you want to take that position and say that it really is at rest. And by the way, that's been the direction that we've been taking the whole time, to say that the upper one really is at rest on top of the lower one. Sheretz agabe nevela shinimocha. What if a sheretz is back, we're back to a nevela, but the nevela is all melty and all eroded. So it's just kind of a liquid sort of ooze. Mahu. Kevin dinimocha habile mashke. So now the nevela should be considered a mashke, which means that the sheretz is now not resting on top of it, it's sort of with it, and the whole thing is floating. Odilma hai ochlahu, or maybe the fact is nevela is considered food, so therefore it's still considered a separate entity, and the sheretz is resting on the nevela. Tomsaloma de ochlahu, so if you want to take that position, sheretz agave shichvat zera mahu. What if you have a sheretz on top of some shichvat zera? So if you say that since the shichvat zera is something that was once inside the body and is now out, let's try this one. A sheretz al gabei mechatat. Mechatat, the water is used for the paraduma, and they generate tuma. And if the sheretz is on top of the mechatat, which is liquid, mechatat safin al gabei mayim mahu, then what do we consider that the sheretz is somehow connected, is sitting on top of the mechatat and is stationary there, and the mechatat are floating, and we consider the whole thing to be floating? The answer is lo yadinan, and therefore teku. So we have to leave it as a teku, and none of this is really settled. Okay, we continue on now on daf samach dalav on bet amar from nuna nazir ve'osa pesach shalchu bekever hatahom b'shvi shalahen. So you have a nazir who is tamei, and now on the seventh day of his tumah, he already had hazah on the third and the seventh day, and he's had gone to the mikvah, and he's gonna shave, and they passed kever tahom, which means they passed the place. He passed the place. We later found out there was tumata tahom there, or an osa pesach. Somebody's going to go do a pesach, and he's on the seventh day of Tahara, and about to become Tahor, and then go do a Pesach, Tahorim. We say that they're Tahor, my time, and Delo Alima, Tumat HaTahom Lemistar. Tumat HaTahom is not strong enough to cancel out his Nazirut. Now, Meitiv Rava, Rava challenges him from our Mishnah. Yaradli Tahermi Tumat HaMeit, if the guy goes into the mikvah to become Tahor from Tumat Meit, remember, and then we found the body even buried underneath. We say he's Tamei, Shechezka Tamei Tamei. Shechezka Tahar Tahar. In other words, we keep him where he is, which means this Nazir, who was Tamei and now went to Kevrat Tahom, should remain Tamei. Why are you allowing him to become Tahor? Amalei, so Hamnuna said, Modin alach ben Nazir. I agree with you about a Nazir. I can't say it about a Nazir and Osa Pesach, just Osa Pesach. Shemachus v'tiglachat, because indeed he really is missing tiglachat. He hasn't shaved yet, and therefore he's still Bechezka Tuma, and therefore the Kevrat Tahom at least doesn't allow him to leave the Chazaka. Now, Amalei Rava, so then Rava turns back to Hamnuna and says, Avana Modin alach b'Osa Pesach. I will agree with you about Pesach, to lo mechus v'lo klum, because really he's got nothing left. He already went to the mikvah. He just to wait for nightfall, and then he could do the Pesach. Since he's on the way to Tahara with nothing left to do, therefore we consider him already Tahor, and therefore Kevra Tahom, which will never change his Chazaka, allows him to remain Tahor. Now, Amar Abai, Abai turned to Rav and said, V'hamachus HaRav Shemesh, that's not true. He's not fully out, because the sun has to set. Amar Shimshim Emela Arva. So Rav answers him by saying something that's really a principle. The sun's going to set anyways, which means you don't have to do anything in order to become Tahor. Just wait. And that's not called Mechusar Maisa. Now, and we find that Abaye accepted this notion that sunset is something that happens automatically and you're not considered to be incomplete if you're just waiting for an event like sunset. Tanya, how do we know that? So we go to an area which is really not our main topic. Yom Laot. Now, the issue here is as follows. A woman gives birth, and after 40 days for a boy, or more critically for our issue, after 80 days for a girl, she brings the korban. Until then, she can't come to the mikdash. She brings the korban, you'll let it. What happens if during those 80 days she becomes pregnant again and then has a miscarriage? A miscarriage would have to be after 40 days at least of pregnancy, so that's why it's not possible for a boy. So if she has the question is she chayiv an extra korban? So yom malot tavi, if she has the baby on the miscarriage on the 80th day or later, of course, then she has to bring a separate korban. Toch malot lo tavi. If it's during the 80 days, then she doesn't have to bring a separate korban. Now, yachol lo tavi al leida shelifnei malot. There's a machlok rishonim how to read this. The Tosfot says we're now talking about a third pregnancy. In other words, she miscarried within the 80 days, then became pregnant again and had another miscarriage after the 80 days. According to the Rambam, we're now talking simply about the second miscarriage. Yachol lo tavi al leida shelifnei malot. I might think that she doesn't bring for leida that's before the 80 days. Aval lo tavi al leida shelachar malot. And then v'tipater mishtehen is something that most Rishonim don't read, so we won't read it. Al leida shelachar malot. And I might think, but she does have to bring one for the leida, which is afterwards. Tamalomar vim lo time tahara. That the Parsha Niladet says when she is completed with her tahara, meaning biyom malot tavi, toch malot lo tavi, that she doesn't bring anything for during the time of malot. Now this is the issue. The question is if she miscarries exactly on the 80th day. Remember, she cannot come to the mikdash till the 81st day, which means the 80th day she goes to the mikveh, and then that night the Tarif Shemesh. She actually goes at night, because Yoledet goes at night. Amar of Kahana, shani hacha de machasra korban. Rav Kahana said, no, this is not true, because she hasn't yet brought a korban. Hatam nami mechasra harav shemesh. So the same thing with the 80th day is that she hasn't yet had sunset. So Abaye shushim meila arva. And Abaye said, no, sun, the fact that the sun hasn't set doesn't mean she's out of the period. So as far as Abaye is concerned, once she's already gone to the mikvah and then is waiting for harav shemesh, she is considered already to be tahora, and therefore any hapala that she would have would now be a new one, affecting a new chiyuv, either korna tosfot or korna rambam, the way that they read it. So the main point of that was to show that Abaye accepted Rava's notion that that Shemesh Memela Karva. Alright, the next Mishnah, Hamotse Meit Batchila Mushkav Kedarko. If a mate is discovered, never found before, that's what Batchila means, and is lying in normal fashion for burial. Notlo Vetfusato, you can reinter him, and the dirt around him, we'll find out how much. Shnayim, you find two like that, Notlan Vetfusatan, you take them both with the dirt around them. Matzash Lo Shabbat, if you found three, Himesh Ben Zemi Dalamot Vyachmone, if the distance between them is between 4 amot and 8 amot, that means that they were really arranged that way. Now notice, they were lying in a normal fashion for burial, and they were a normal distance away from each other for burial. Harezu Shchunat Kvarot. That means that we now assume that this area is a planned burial site, which you cannot reinter, you cannot move the Meitim around. But in addition, it also means you can define it as a Shchunat Kvarot and not be worried about any of the other surrounding areas, because this is where they buried people. Now, what do? Bodei Kemenu L'Halan Esrim Amah. You have to check 20 Amot in every direction to see if there's any other bodies. Matzah Echad B'Sof Esrim Amah. If you find a body, even at the end of 20 Amot, Bodei Kemenu L'Halan Esrim Amah. You go another 20 Amot. Shraglaim Ladavar, because we have a reason to suspect, and that's the common theme here, She'ilu Tchila Matzon at Lo Tfusato, because if you had found that far-flung body first, you could move it. But now that you found three in a row, you got to check, and any other bodies you find within 20 amot are assumed to be part of the same burial plot, burial area, and you have to leave them where they are. Now, I'm Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda darshans the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Matzah Meit Mushkav Kedarko. What does Matzah mean? Prat Matsui. In other words, this only applies to a mate that has now been found, not to one that was already known about. Mate, what does mate mean? Prat Laharug. Died, as opposed to one who was killed. If anyone was killed, we assume it was killed on the road by an animal, by a robber, and this is not a planned burial site. Mushkav, lying, Prat Yoshev, as opposed to a mate found in some other position, like sitting up. Kidarko, what does that mean? Prat l'shiroshom u'nachbein yirechotav. That excludes one where you find the mate with his head between his legs. In other words, where he's lying in a normal fashion, then we consider him part of the, to be potentially part of a regular burial site, and then we count, and if there's three, etc. Tani ulo bar chanina, mate shechaser, if we find a mate that's missing some part of his body. Eno tfusa v'lo shchunat kvarot. We don't reinter him and take the dirt with him. He doesn't have a claim on it, as it were, and he doesn't count towards counting this as the three bodies. So why are all these things excluded? We don't know who the body is. It might be a non-Jew. But if we find someone who's buried properly and complete, the way the Jews are careful to bury their dead, then we can assume there's a Jewish cemetery and then we have to leave it as is. Now, this could be, just raising the possibility, something to reconsider in a time, and I'm picking up on the theme of the Meiri and other Rishonim of recognizing Western religions as being a little different than Avodah Zarah, that may be a little different when you have non-Jews in the area, in the vicinity, who have funerary practices that also have that kind of respect for the dead. Okay, Matzah Shnayim. Let's say you found two bodies. Rosh Hashanah Zeh, Bitzad Margolotav Shel Zeh. They're facing opposite, so one's head was at the other's feet and vice versa. They don't have any claim, and that was not a shchunat. They can't count either of them for shchunat kvarot. Meaning you have to find three other bodies there, because the assumption here is that they died that way, or they're non-Jews. Matzah Shlosha. Let's say you found three. Hayachad Yaduo Shnayim Tchila. Let's say one of them was already known, and now the other two you discovered. Oh, shnayim tchila v'shnayim yiduim. There should be v'chad yadua. Two of them were found for the first time, and one was already known. Or chad tchila v'shnayim yiduim. Emem tfusav emem shchana kvarot. Again, none of it applies. It doesn't work unless all three of them are newly found. Maaseh Rebbe Yeshevav, shebadak u'matzah shnayim yiduim v'chad tchila. There's a story about Rebbe Yeshevav, who, as you know, was one of the 10 martyrs, who found two bodies that were already known, but he found where they were, and one of them was newly discovered. He wanted to declare the area a shchunat kvarot, which of course would have the salutary effect of keeping the rest of the area as tahor, because that's now defined as the Beit Kvarot. Amar Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva said, "Kol she'agata l'rikya gata. All your work was for naught. Lo amru shchunat kvarot ela gimel yuduin el shloshat chila. It only works if there's three that we already know about there, or three that have never been seen, and now we discover them for the first time." Now the Mishnah said, "Notlan vet tfusatan hechi dami tfusa. What is tfusa? What's the earth around them?" When Yaakov says to Yosef, "Take me up from Mitzrayim," The drasha is tol imi. In other words, take a little of Egypt with me. V'chamashir tfusa. How much is that? Piresh Rabbi Elazar. No, tell afar tichoach. You take all the soft dirt around the mate. V'chofer b'tula gimel atzpaut. And dig down into the virgin earth, 3 fingers breadth down, and that's what you take with him. That's how much the mate kind of takes. Now, meitavet, we have a challenge that has a whole different take on tfusa. Chamashir tfusa, piresh Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Tzadok, notel et hakismin vetaksasot, so they take the pieces of wood and the pieces of stuff that are around that could possibly be connected to part of the body, the corpse. Zoreket avadain, you throw out those parts which are certainly just wood of the coffin. Maniach tasfekot, but anything that may be part of the body you keep. Vashar mitztaref the rov binyano shomei to the rov atzamot, no tavad rakav. Everything else is mitztaref for the shirim of tuma. So how come here we said that you take 3 fingers breadth? So Udamar Kaitana Tanya Bachamashir Tfusam Rav Yochanan Mishumar Ben Azai tell Efartichoach Chofer B'Tula Shalosh Tzpot. The answer is we have Machloka Tanaim and Rav Yehu and Rabbi Elazar. The first Rabbi Elazar was picking up on that position of Ben Azai, which is you take all the soft dirt around him and 3 fingers down. Now the Mishnah then said Bodei Kimano that you have to check ahead for 20 amot in every direction. Amar Rava Badak Upina. Badak Upina. Let's say you checked and you found one body and you removed it. Badak Upina. Then you've checked and you found another body and removed it. Badak Vashkach. Then you found a third one. Lohai Mefani Le Gabe Hanach Tre. You don't take the third one. You can't move him and bring him to where the other two are. Lohani Tre Le Gabe Haichad. And the other two can't be brought there. So that's one version. Ika Da'asa. In other words, the idea is that if you find one, and you find one, you're immediately allowed to move him. So if you don't move him, then you can establish a shchunat kfarot. But if you do move him, and then you find a third one, the other two aren't going to be brought back there. Ika Da'ami Amarava. There's another version of this. Kevan Shinina Rishut Lefanot Mefanelahon. Since you have already been allowed to move them, you can move them, which means the first one that you find, you can move even after you discover. Why don't we call it a shchunat kfarot? The answer is Rish Lakish, Ilam Atzu V'Tiaru Eretz Yisrael. And this is a notion that's going to go in two opposite directions. In this case, Rish Lakish says, and it's a quote from another context, that we find a loophole, as it were, in order to be Metaher Eretz Yisrael. Here we want to minimize the shchunat kfarot, because then the whole area, it generates tuma. Now watch this. What happens if you check 20 amot out and you don't find any other bodies? Then we deem the area where the bodies that are found to be shchunat kvarot, and we don't check any further. So my time is Yisrael, because this is the same principle, works in the opposite direction, that we find a loophole to be Matar Eretz Yisrael. How's that? That by identifying this as the shchunat kvarot, everything around is now bona fide tahor. Okay, continuing on the theme of the judging a circumstance differently when it first comes to us, like the first mate that we find, as opposed to a nazir that was tahor currently, as opposed to one that was tameh. Similarly, if a Kohen comes to check Nigaim, Tzarat, when he first comes to check it, Safek Nigaim Etchila Tahor. Ad Shalon Izkak L'Tuma, that's before you become Tameh. Mishin Izkak L'Tuma, once you're already Tameh, and then the Kohen has to recheck, Sfeko Tameh. Then the Sofek goes L'Chumra. Menahan Emili, how do we know that? Amar Yud Amar Rav, Amar Kra, L'Tahara O'L'Tamo. The end of the Parsha of Tzarat, at the end of Parsha of Tazria, says L'Tahara O'L'Tamo. This is what the Kohen must do. This is the Torah of Tzarat. To be Metarim or to be Metamehim. So which comes first? Since the text starts with Tahara, we always begin with Tahara, meaning if there is no Chazaka yet, this fellow has the Tzarat, then we call it Tahor. So So if that's the case, even if he was already established to be Tameh, we should still go Safek Tahor because the Pasuk. So that doesn't work. That statement is a Ha'itmar. It wasn't stated about our Mishnah, but about something else. In Baharat Kadmal Seir Lavan, if the Baharat, the white spot, comes before the white hair, then Tameh. V'im Seir Lavan Kodem LaBaharat, this famous discussion about Metziut, Rabbi Bachana, if the white hair came first, then Tahor. Safek Tamei, Rabbi Shua Omer Keha. So the Tanakhama says, if it's a safik, which came first, we go Tamei. Rabbi Shua says, it's weak. What does it mean, Keha? What does it mean, it's weak? And Rabbi Yehuda Keha v'tahor. It's weak, meaning it's tahor. We're not going to be matamehim. V'dilma Keha v'tamei. Maybe Keha means it's weak and it's Tamei. Well, that doesn't make sense, because then he's agreeing with Chachamim. In other words, since we begin, the text begins by associating Tahara with the Nega, therefore, in this case of a Safek, which came first, Rabbi Yeshua says, we will go the Tahara, we will follow the lead of the Pasuk. And therefore, since if the Baherad comes first, it's Tamei, but if the hair comes first, it's tahor, and we don't know which came first, therefore Yeshua says, following the lead of the pasuk, it's tahor, and that's where we should apply the drush of the tahor, the tamo, not to our case. Our case is simply a case of chazaka. If he's already tamei, then we follow that chazaka, and the suffix becomes tamei. If he's not yet tamei, then he's tahor, then he need a vadai tuma to take him out of that suffix. Okay, we will continue Mir Tashem with the final podcast of Masachat Nazir, which will take us to the Siyum, which we will celebrate properly. Everyone should have a wonderful day.